Somebody tell me what you're most competitive about. Just any losing at all.
Yeah. You're... I don't really care. Like, if I'm losing, like, some... Okay, maybe I am. I hate losing.
Hate losing at all times.
Okay, maybe it's frisbee. I don't really care. It's something I care about that I hate it, which is only volleyball. I care about
it. So volleyball.
Yeah, I hate losing.
Sports.
Sports, just in general. Yeah. All sports. What?
Mech Warrior.
Mech Warrior. Video games, yeah. What?
Karate
tournaments, yes.
There we go.
Kaylee, did you have your hand raised?
Basketball.
Yes.
Pretty much in general, basketball.
Yeah, I agree with that. I hadn't put a lot of thought into this question, but I think I'm probably most competitive about basketball.
Wow.
I think of all the things that I...
You are? You're most competitive
about
basketball?
Yeah, yes.
That
is weird. That's another thing that, did you know that Kaylee and I, we like basketball, we both like grape soda, and we both had tacos every birthday forever. We're like twins. We've been going through this series, That's Life, and this is actually our last teaching in this series before we have a night off. And who can tell me what we looked at the first week? It'd be 3 weeks ago now. I know that was a long time ago. Huh? It was a long time ago.
Spending time with God.
That's right. Solo time. You can have some Starburst, Ross. Happy birthday. That's right, your retainer. We talked about, hey guys, can I have your attention, please? We talked about solo time, about spending time with God, and that's an important thing that we need to be doing. And we can do that through, some of the ways that we talked about that night was we can do that through Bible study, we can do that through praying with God, we can do that through meditation, yeah, which is thinking through, thinking about, looking at all sides of truth. And then what did we talk about that second week? Anybody remember?
Taking God to school.
What does that mean, taking God to school?
Bringing a Bible to school.
Kaylee, what does that mean?
It means, like, how you act at school if you're different from how you act in church.
Uh-huh. To be... I'm going to go really low here. To be who we've been made, to be these authentic Christian believers, which we talked about in the first series, which is who we are. It's who you are if you've decided to trust Jesus with your life. You are, he described us as salt, that we are the salt of the earth, and that we are the light of the world. That we've been made that. It's not something that we... need to work at becoming. It's something. It's who you are, and that you will impact the people around you as you just live out this authentic Christian life that we've been given, and that we will impact our world. We will impact the darkness. That's who we are as light, and that we will keep. People from spoiling, from going bad, from going down a path of death and rottenness, that we can be that saving influence in their life. And we also saw that we need to be prepared, that a good exercise is for us to think about, you know what if someone asks me about why I believe what I believe? And do you have an answer for that? Do you know what you would say if someone asked you that? You know, why do you go to church? Why do you go to youth group? Why do you trust your life to this Jesus? Do we have responses for that? And to think through that. Last week we talked about what?
Cheating.
Yes. And we talked about all the different ways that you can cheat, right? No, what did we talk about cheating? Who did we talk about? Anybody remember the people that we talked about? Talked about a married couple. Rachel. Uh-huh. Do you remember his name? He's got a weird name, and so does his wife. Ananias and Sapphira. That they were trying to hide the truth with this amount of money that they gave. That they came and they sold some property and they said, here's all the money that we got from the property. And it wasn't all the money that they had gotten from the property, and that they were trying to cover that up. How does that apply to cheating? Because we talked about the fact that if you look at like the lists of sins that are in the Bible, cheating is not listed in those big lists of sin. But there is a sin that's related to that. What is it?
It's being not deceitful to people, but being deceitful to God.
Yes, yes. Not just being deceitful. Deceit is the sin that... Give it to someone else. Deceit is not... when you cheat, when you try to cover up the truth, it's not just against that person. It's not just an issue with that person. When you turn in a paper that has your name on it, and it's not really your work, that it's someone else's work, but you put your name on it, or you turn in a test that you got half the answers from the person next to you, and you're saying this is my work when you turn it in. It's not just an issue between you and that teacher, or you and the people in your class, or you and the person that you cheated off of. The bigger issue is that it's an issue between you and God, and it affects your relationship to God. Because integrity and lack of dishonesty is really, really important to God. And we saw that as you that sometimes we look at cheating and go, oh, that's not a big deal. Everybody does that. Everyone cheats. It's not that big of a deal. It's just a small thing. And sometimes we have that perspective. But if we're dishonest in small things, then when the pressure's on in the big things, when you get to those big points in life where you need to make a choice whether you're going to cover up the truth or be honest, it's going to be so much easier to be dishonest. And likely you will be dishonest in the big things. But if you're honest in small things and you do the right thing in these small things, then you'll set a pattern for your life that actually when it comes to those high-pressure situations, likely you'll respond with honesty and do the right thing. Tonight we are going to talk about competition. You might have assumed that by our question, and you can see on the top of your handout that it says competition. And we're going to talk about that because in our society, competition is everywhere. And I think a lot of us have not the right perspective, not God's perspective, on how we should handle competition. So let's pray, and we'll get into what we're talking about. God, I just thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing in every single one of our lives, that there's each one of us here could just share about ways that you're impacting our lives and things that you're doing in our lives, good things, bad things. God, it's just so great that we can come to you, and you're a God that we can trust in every situation of our lives. I just pray as we look at this issue tonight of competition that you would help us to apply this to our individual situations where we are competitive and that we would truly maybe change our thinking tonight, maybe from what it had been, or be reminded of your truth, of how to be people who are authentic believers in sports games and just the different areas of competition that we are involved in. Just pray that you'd help us apply that tonight. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Like I was saying, competition is everywhere, and you guys know this. A lot of you guys are involved in sports where you compete. We watch sports. As Americans, it's a huge percentage of people watch sports on a regular basis. We have reality TV now that is all about like putting people in weird situations and one person coming out up on top, and which I can actually speak to liking some of those shows. Which the best one is The Amazing Race, by the way, if you've never seen it, it's really good. But we have the reality shows, we have, we compete in academics. That's actually why it's, you know, last week we talked about cheating. That's why a lot of people cheat, is this desire to get ahead in academics. There's only, you know, so many scholarships out there, and there's only one person's going to be valedictorian. Only one person's going to be the best, you know, get the best grades in a particular class. You're competing for those things. And we compete in video games. Somebody mentioned something about a video game. We compete in relationships, compete for friends, compete for attention from boys and girls and all that. Some of you guys are in band. I actually saw some of you guys' band concerts. I was in band, and you compete for that first chair, you know, to be the best person in your section. We compete for so much stuff, and really, whenever there is something that you want, that other people want, but only one person can get it, or only a couple people can get it. There's more people that want something than can actually achieve that thing. There's going to be competition. And so that's why it kind of fills in so many areas of life. And you know, some people, some Christians out there actually have the perspective that competition is bad. And you might even go, I don't know, is competition bad? Is being competitive a bad thing? Some believe that it's a bad thing because it can lead to pride, and it can lead to greed, as we see with like professional athletes and stuff, and it can lead to hot tempers and fear and hating people and bragging and envying. It can lead to these things. But the truth is, the Bible never condemns competing ever. And there's not a place in the Bible where competition is ever talked badly about. It actually is talked more positively about as far as the Christian life. I mean, they use analogies a lot in the Bible about competition, sporting events. They, you know, our faith, our Christian life is compared to a race, to running a race and trying to attain the prize, to have victory, to get the prize. And talks about overcoming the world, that we have victory in our faith, that we're conquering. Again, those kind of analogies are used a lot biblically. And the bottom line is this: competition is not good or bad in and of itself. The issue is who we are and what we are like when we compete. That's the issue. Competition does become a problem when a few things happen, and these are some of the things we're going to talk about tonight. It becomes a problem when our worth is wrapped up in it. The idea that if I win, I have more value than if I lose. If I lose, I have less value. Popular idea and concept out there. It becomes a problem when winning is the only reason to play. The only reason to compete is if I can win. If I can't win, there's no reason to compete. It also becomes a problem when we look to find our fulfillment in it. When we compete because we're trying to fulfill ourselves, we need to win. There's the need to win. There's the need to compete. There's a need to for people to appreciate us in a competition. And it also can become a problem when winning becomes a higher priority than God, which that happens a lot. When competing becomes a higher priority than our relationship to God. It's what the Bible would call an idol in our lives. Let's open up to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at some of these things. Some of you guys might already have that open. You guys have a page number on that, Galatians chapter 6? 798. Flip over to page 798. We're going to look at just one verse here in Galatians. We're going to look at a lot of different things, so we're going to kind of go fast through some of these concepts. But Galatians 6:4 says this. It says, each of you should test your own actions. Then you can take pride in yourself without comparing yourself to someone else. See, I love this verse because especially when it comes to competition, because in our society, there's a lot of pressure not just to compete, but to win. I've got some quotes here from coaches, from professional coaches. And some of these you might have heard before, but they say things like, it's not how you play the game, but whether you win or lose, and you better win. It's a coach talking to his team. Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. You guys have probably heard that before. Nice guys finish last. Show me a nice loser, and I'll show you a guy who's still a loser. The one, I thought that was pretty funny. The one who comes in second place is just the first loser. You guys have probably heard that one before too. That we have this idea, this concept, that winning is idolized. Winning is the only thing. And the only reason to compete is to win, is to be first, is to be the best. And that's how we're taught to compete. You know, most of you guys that play on sports teams, you'll probably hear from your coach that we want to be the best. We want to be number one. But God's perspective is a little different. It's really different than that. He says, instead of trying to be the best, which means out of all this group of people, I'm going to be number one. I'm going to be on top. I'm going to be the MVP, the most valuable player. As a team, we're going to be number one, not number six. God's perspective is, you know what? Stop looking at other people. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Stop comparing your team to other teams. And simply look at yourself. Look at your own actions. So you can take pride in yourself. Which is not saying that you should be prideful, but it's saying, you know what? It's looking at how I played at a particular game, how I, you know, played at a particular video game, or how I'm doing, you know, in my seat placement in band, or whatever you're competing in, that you would look at that and you would go, you know what? I think I played pretty well today. Or, you know what? I think I need to improve today. So you can make statements like that, and it has nothing to do with whether you win or lose. Because all you're doing is evaluating your own self and going, you know what? I could do better in this area. I could do better in this area, but I'm doing pretty good in this area. This idea that he leaves in this verse, the core of it is this. Instead of trying to be the best, which is really all that the world strives for in competition, is to be the best. Instead of trying to be the best, we should have this perspective of I will do my best, whatever that is. I'm going to do my best in whatever I'm competing in, and that's enough. I don't have to be the best. If I'm first place, great. If I'm last place, great. If I win this game, great. If I lose, it's okay. As long as I'm doing my best, being the best, which is a comparative statement, I'm better than you, and I'm better than you, and I'm better than you. It's not what it's about from God's perspective. So the point there is that competition should be about doing our best and not being the best. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, says this. I'm just going to say that we're going to look at a few things here, because the point is this, of these next verses that we're going to look at, that when we're competing, we are called to a Christ-like attitude. You know, we looked in that first series about being an authentic believer and what that is, and we'll cover some of those points later, but what an authentic Christian is. But I think sometimes, and I can speak from personal experience, that sometimes we take competition and we almost put it in a separate, and we can almost separate it from our spiritual life. That you know what, I'll serve, I'll love, I'll care for people, I'll do what's right in my life. But competition is almost like this separate thing. Love someone else? I'm trying to crush them. Serve someone else? Well, they're the enemy. Not God's perspective at all. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had. That last part is so the core of what we were talking about with authentic Christianity, that we should have the same attitude when we compete. We should have the same attitude as Christ had and would have if he was in our shoes. And what is that attitude? He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. It's not an attitude when we compete, we're staying in that realm, it's not an attitude when we compete of what I can get out of this, how I can benefit. But instead, it's how can I serve? I'm on this basketball team, and I want to think of how I can serve the people on my basketball team. What can I do to put myself lower than everyone else playing? It's about service. Each of you should not look to your own interests, but each of you should look to the interests of others. How can I do that? When I'm playing video games with my buddy, how can I do that? Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. See, I think this is a really key verse when we think about our opponents, the people we're competing against. Because especially in sports, we tend to look at our opponents as enemies of us. And we treat them that way too. We talk badly about them. We tear them down. We are trying to, with all of our might, crush them so we can be lifted up. Lower their status so our status can increase. And God says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Raise the value of everyone you're around above yourself. And that's people that are, if you're on a team, people that are on your team, going, great job. Every time that they do something well, great job, great job. And it also means if someone makes a mistake, not crushing them for it. Seen that a lot too. I can't believe you just missed that ball. Honoring them. But it also means honoring your opponent. Going to them and going, hey, great job, that was a really nice hit. You slammed that right in my face. Wow, that was really good. Honoring them. They're not the enemy. It's not about competing against your opponent. It's about competing with your opponent. Philippians 2:14 says this. It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Really plain and simple. I've seen a lot of grumbling in competition, a lot of arguments in competition, a lot of things where, you know what, you're playing Foursquare, which you guys will play last week, and hopefully you can apply some of these principles next week. You hit the ball, and you don't think it hit the line, and someone says it hit the line, and you get all up in their face, and you're like, that did not hit the line. You're complaining. You're grumbling. You don't have that attitude, he says. If you see that pattern, that's not the attitude of Christ that we're called to. Proverbs 15:8 says, The hot-tempered stir up dissension, but those who are patient calm a quarrel. Do you find that most of the time you're actually kind of cool and you know, not very hot-tempered, but you get into that competitive situation, and you can be set off like that? I was talking about how I'm pretty competitive when it comes to basketball, and that is so easy for me. Because, basketball especially when you're just playing basketball with some buddies and there's no refs around, fouls happen like all the time. And it drives me crazy because I'm like, don't you realize that you can't do that? And I'm so quick to like blow a fuse. Come on, get off of me. That whole attitude. It's not the attitude of Christ. In reality, the reason why we fall into some of these patterns sometimes when we're competing, how we're, you know, we fall into these patterns that don't reflect the attitude of Christ, is because for so many of us, we're trying to find fulfillment in some way in these areas that we're competing in. Ephesians 5:18 says this. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, which is also means dissipation or empty, an empty life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And the word filled there actually means to be fully filled. The better word would probably be fulfilled. We use that word a lot, to be fulfilled. To be fully filled up. And then he says, be fully filled up, be fully fulfilled with the Spirit, with God. Be fully fulfilled with God. Find everything that you need in God. See, every person kind of has a hole in them. As an illustration, not everyone really has, you know, a hole. But we all have this hole that is what we need in life. And we try to fill this hole in our lives with so many different things. We try to fit sports in there. We try to fit love in there. We try to fit so many things into this hole we have. And the bottom line is nothing we do, nothing we ever have is going to fulfill that hole. You know, you see this all the time with, this is where I really think of it, you see this all the time with football, with football guys, because I love football and I watch football all the time. And what happens is these guys, like, they're living to go to the Super Bowl. Like, that is their life's dream, is just to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. It's everything that they're living for. They spend all of their time working towards this goal. Guys who've been playing 12, 15 years in the league, and they just can't, that's all they want, is to go and win a Super Bowl ring. My favorite player ever was Dan Marino, and he never got a Super Bowl ring. It was like heartbreaking for me. He was the best quarterback ever and never got a Super Bowl ring. But these guys are trying to do this. And then what's interesting to me is they do it. They win the whole thing. And you hear these guys talk, and they go, it was the best day of my life. I have never felt so good as the day that I held up that trophy above my head. Best thing ever. And 4 months later, they're hopping back into training camp going, we just got to repeat that. We got to do that again. That wasn't enough. Yeah, it filled for a little bit. It was great that day. It was great for that 10 minutes that they were standing on the podium with the trophy held above their head. But it didn't last. Got to do it again. And then you have the Patriots who do it twice, and then, oh, we got to do it again. Three-peat, that's the way to go. It's never enough. And God says, do not get drunk on wine. This is just one example here. You can fill in so many things in there. He says, do not get drunk on wine, for this leads to debauchery, dissipation, emptiness is what that word means. That hole is empty. You try to fill it with stuff, it's still empty. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Don't try to fill that hole with competition. Don't try to go, if I just win this game, that's going to somehow, I need to win this game. It's empty. It's only going to lead to emptiness. He says, instead, be fully filled up. Get everything that you need from God. And you know what? What's great is when we do that, when we have everything that we need from God and we don't need anything else than what he provides for us, we're fully fulfilled by him, then that makes us free to be Christ-like. If I don't have to win this game, then I can just do my best. I don't have to tear you down. I don't have to hurt you. I can love you. I can care for you. I can put you above myself. I can look for ways to serve. Colossians 3:17 says this. Well, the point there is believers should not look for fulfillment in competition, but in God alone. It's just empty to look for it in competition. Colossians 3:17 says this. It says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It all comes back. This is actually the last point. If you remember in our study of authentic Christianity, this was the last point of authentic Christianity. And it comes back to that. You probably didn't notice the pattern, but we've been basically going through those steps of authentic Christianity again. The first one is Christ-like thinking and actions, Christ-like behavior, Christ-like attitude. That when we're competing, we need to have a Christ-like attitude. That's the first and foremost thing. We need to think about serving. We need to think about loving. We need to think about honoring those who we're around without complaining, without flying off the handle. We need to do all those things in the midst of competition. And the second thing is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. That was the second part of authentic Christianity. Be fully fulfilled by the Spirit. Find everything that we need in him. Live in complete dependence upon him. That's a part of authentic Christianity, and that was the second point that we covered. And the last thing is, motivated by the desire to bring glory to God, that in everything that we do, we need to look for ways to honor God and glorify him and lift his name up, not our own. See, so many times we get involved in sports, at least I do and have, so that others will think well of me, that others will go, man, Nate's a great basketball player for being 5'6". You know? Oh, hey, I like that. I'm going to keep playing basketball then. Because then, you know, someone else might mention it. You know what I mean? Or we go, you know what? I'm going to be on volleyball because we're the best team. And if I play volleyball, we're going to be in first place. And I like how it feels to be in first place. That's why I'm playing. It's about me. It's about us. And God says everything you do. So we're talking about competition tonight. So in your competition, honor me. In everything you do, we need to be looking for ways to honor God, motivated by the desire to bring him glory. And I want to challenge you guys a little bit tonight to think about the areas that you compete in, the areas that you choose to compete in. And I really want you to think about the fact, I really want you to think about why you are doing what you're doing, why you are competing. Is it for you? Or is it to honor God? See, winning's great. Losing, not so great. That's not the issue. From God's perspective, it's what your heart is like when you win, when you lose. Where your motivation is, why you do what you do. It's who you're dependent on, who you're being fulfilled by. Last two questions there, guys, on the bottom of your handout are, what is your heart like when you compete? Does it reflect God's heart or selfishness? What is your heart like when you compete? And what is God showing you tonight? Let's pray and we'll go to our groups. God, I just thank you for your word again. I just so love that you loved us enough, that you cared enough about us to not just leave us hanging out here with no direction, trying to figure out what life is about, trying to figure out who you are and who you've made us and who we should be. You laid it out for us. You gave us your word that gives us clear direction about how to live life. Has everything that we need. And it's a gift from you. just so thankful for that. I pray that as we go to our So What groups, God, that you'd help us make this real in our lives. And if that means honestly looking at it and go, I've had an ugly attitude. I've not been Christ-like in any way. Then maybe we need to step away from some areas that we're competing in until we can submit that part of our life to you. And God, maybe for some of us, we can compete with your kind of heart, but we just need to make some changes. God, I pray that we would run to you for making those changes in our heart and in our lives, because we can't do it alone. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Let's go to our groups, guys.